Blog Talk Radio.
Women have the power to transform this world. We can end crime, violence, and poverty if we all agree to do one thing. Share. Let's share our wisdom, share our time, share our talents, share our finances. But most of all, let's share our love. This is the Female Solution. Join me, Naima Latif, and my co-host, Minister Cynthia Marie Williams, every morning, Monday through Friday, 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. Central Standard Time, as we connect with women everywhere. Together, we can heal our world. But first, we need to heal ourselves. Listen online at www.blogtalkradio.com/the-female-solution. Call in and be a part of our discussion. 347-539-5639.
Good morning, and thank you for listening to The Female Solution. I am your host, Naima Latif, this Thursday morning. And if you're listening to us online and want to join our conversation, give us a call, 347-539-5639. And press that blue button that says follow so that you can get our daily updates of topics for the day. Well, you know, we just celebrated a few weeks ago the 50th anniversary of the March on Washington. And supposedly this was a momentous event marking our success and having achieved so much politically, and supposedly we've made great strides since the 60s and 70s era of protests. But, you know, our young people have not really been impressed. As a matter of fact, they're angry. They feel that politicians have betrayed them because of all the speeches and all the marches and all the talking that we've done. They're still suffering, and they feel that a few may have made some gains, and we've got some few people who have benefited from all of the civil rights era gains, but the masses of people are still devastated, still impoverished, still lacking opportunities for growth and self-development. And young people have decided that they don't want to hear it anymore. And many of them have taken things into their own hands. And that's why what we hear reflected in the music is anger and rebellion. So how do we take that spirit of protest, that spirit of anger, that spirit of rebellion, and turn it toward positive energy for change and social justice? Can we do it? Well, today we've got a guest that many of you have heard before and have certainly welcomed to our show as a voice for not just the youth, but those who are ascending into higher adult wisdom. And he bridges that gap with his position in the music industry. We're going to hear from Brother Rappin' Tate, the great Rappin' Tate, who's now Brother Tate X, and he has been enlightened by words of wisdom from many of our leaders who have not sold out. But he takes that message and translates the words so that the young can understand the struggle. First, I want to say good morning to our co-host, Minister Cynthia Marie Williams. And how are you this morning?
Just fine, and good morning to everyone. Namaskar. And I'm looking forward to hearing what the brother has to say. I just happened the other night, my husband and I looked at Malcolm X, the movie. And my husband said, he said, you know, I really learned something from looking at the movie. And I was doing my sociologically cross-reference because I'm part of that era.
Yes.
And I remember living near where the Honorable Elijah Muhammad was having his gatherings, and it was so beautiful to look at the brothers and sisters. They were so clean and sparkly. They looked beautiful.
Yes,
so I remember going to the Shabazz restaurant when it was on 82nd, 83rd, and Cottage Grove, and looking dead in Dick Gregory's face and sitting with Harold Steffo and Renault Robinson. And it was really interesting experience in a time when I was invited to become a Muslim sister. So it was very interesting.
Oh, yes.
And we had a lot of admiration for them, because they would come out and work with the brothers and sisters that were not doing well because of drugs. And they were trying to counteract that infiltration of the larger society to destroy us as a people.
Yes, and that's an organization that, if no one else had respect in the street, the nation had respect in the street, because the young men did. You'd see a young man literally go through a transformation from being a drugged out bum to this very upright, clean cut, dignified, respectful man, and you'd say that. That is a transformation that can only come from God, because it's from the inside out. And that's really where we have to clean up our people, from the inside out. But it first starts with a knowledge of yourself as a spiritual being, as you know, and a manifestation of the spirit. And then, as you know, it takes understanding of who you are in history, having respect for your people and what we have achieved as an African descendant people, as you say. But more importantly, knowing what your role is as a being put here by God for a purpose. And so that's what you see reflected in that community and in the men and the women. And a lot of that spirit we need to bring to the streets, because people have lost their way. But I want to certainly give a welcome to our special guest today, Brother Rappin' Tate. Thank you so much for joining us. Peace and blessings be upon you, my brother.
Well, first and foremost, I'd like to send a greeting and the words of Assalamu Alaikum to all the listeners. Alhamdulillah. All praise due to Allah. And like when you all were speaking, we were speaking in reference of the teachings of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, giving instruction to the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, who's in our presence this very day, that it was a question that was questioned upon him that we are all now in that questioning, and it was what the time and what must be done. And I tell you, you can go to YouTube and check out the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. He have over many 60 to 80 some lectures free of charge, where the people can prepare their minds and mindsets for what must be done. And today is that type of day that we're in now in the hip hop arena. And so we're making them changes. So I'm so obliged to be with you and Sister William, sending greetings to that sister and her husband and to you all's family. And we are looking forward to whatever you all questions are, and ready to rock and roll, because hip-hop is making a transition on a national level.
Yes, sir.
Thank you,
well,
thank you, my brother. Thank you.
Yes. Well, I did look a bit at the YouTube video link that you sent me, and I was really impressed with the lyrics, because, you know, the thing about it, a lot of older people don't understand hip-hop as an expression of the reality that young people are living. And it's a reality that we created in a lot of ways by our neglect. We failed to capitalize on that period of unity that we had. A lot of it had to do with the intentional disruption of our organizations. We know that the counterintelligence program by the U.S. government was intended to disrupt our organizations that were doing positive things. But we should have been smarter than that. Because the evil force can only defeat you by your own weakness. That means envy, jealousy, greed, lust. These are the things that were used to destroy us. But they are things that were within us. So when someone sends someone to enter our organization and they instigate conflict because you got one person jealous of another person, They can only do that if we got the jealousy in us. So
that's
we
right.
should have learned from that. And we should have been able to rebuild instead of still being struggling and still out here on the streets with the gang violence. And that's the same. It's the very same thing. The lower powers, the dark forces, the enemy that intends to keep us in a state of disruption is manipulating these street organizations, causing the conflict, instigating the conflict, and then letting them play it out with gun battles that ends up everybody either dead or in jail. So how can the hip-hop movement enlighten young people who are victims of this same kind of manipulation? What kinds of things can enlightened musicians do, the conscious musicians, what can they do to reach that generation?
Well, first and foremost, I'd like to thank you all for reviewing the video, and hopefully that you all can get the word and the message spread out on your links and things. That particular
yes.
video entitled World was inspired in two ways. One was that 4 years ago, I lost my little brother, who would have been 25 as of this year. He had an identical twin, and he gave his life for a 3-year-old, 5-year-old, and a mother at a gas station. He was working for a construction traveling job, and he happened to have went out and saw a man pointing a gun about to kill a 3-year-old, 5-year-old, and a mother at a gas station. And without thinking, like any young person, he happened to ran out and put his hand on a barrel. He asked the guy and pleaded to not kill the family. He walked away, turned back, and shot my little brother in the knees, and then he took the .38 and printed in his face and shot him in the side and left him at the wayside for dead. And so with that, his identical twin has been suffering because, you know, when you have an identical twin, in most cases, I'm not a twin, but I can tell you that, you know, when you're alone and you've been seeing this child for over 20-some years and then you no longer have that brother, you know, it's a really, really detrimental situation compared to a single person that come from his mother's womb. And so with that, I was touring 386 schools in Chicago, and I was just going throughout 16 of the Chicago housing projects. And after my little brother passed away, it just blew my mind. Then there was another incident that happened because I have officers in my family as well as colleagues and people like the Slick Boys from back in the day. I used to tour with them, and I've worked on the side of CAPS programs in Chicago using hip-hop influence to engage communities with a more better comprehension. And there was something mysterious happened. There was a gentleman by the name of Ronald Blair Halt that I had did some work with throughout the city, you know, just going to the, when you go to the schools and visit. And when I heard about his son that was murdered on the bus, I began to investigate and search throughout the East Coast and other places and inquiring with my family members, were there any officers ever, as of to this day, had been losing loved ones to gun violence? And when I found that to be mysterious, and I was like, well, we need to do a dialogue communication, having officers to come out of officer clothing and back into civilian clothing so that we can reconstitute and regenerate officer friendly. Because when you take a child like in the Bronx that's being frisk searched, or you going throughout the nation where young people are being stopped because they may be imposed or imposed as a threat within the community based off the fact with their parents sagging or T-shirts, but then you come to find out this young person has a BA degree or this young person is in college or these things and being stereotyped. This caused a total chaos of conflict of interest. But though a lot of the sagging and bagging is really a freedom of expression because so many young people are going through so much. Like I have a young man that's doing outstanding. I hope that he's on the line. His name is Elrod, and he had lost a cousin to gun violence, and she was murdered, and it was a domestic situation. So these type of things we need to be able to engage in using video as an illustration and a communication among our people to be able to come up with a conflict resolution, because today when we're looking at society and a five-year-old run from an officer and said, there come an officer, mommy, mommy, that's kind of a very, very hurtful way when it's supposed to be officer-friendly or coming to approach. So we got to get the officers throughout the United States that have lost loved ones to talk more as a civilian compared to an officer and their experience with their family members whom they have lost. And I truly believe that with this video, this would be able to help others to be able to understand better and look at officers a little more different. Not saying that every officer is a good officer, not saying that they're all bad officers. We know that there are some people used to gang bang that have became officers. So, but at the same time, in America, we need to come up with a new direction. I truly believe that not only do America needs a healing, but the community needs a healing, and the youth need a healing, and families need a healing, but officers need a healing. And so with this particular video world, it gives us an opportunity to engage that particular situation. So this is why we came up with the video as a conflict resolution of solutions, and that's what I'm really doing with the albums and singles and things we're putting together. And also that particular video was shot by a young man, 18 years of age, that's from Delaware, the state of Delaware in Wilmington, and he was only 18, and the young man is from the projects. And so it's just showing you on how young people are beginning to engage and make a difference in every 18 or 19 or 20-year-old, not only just portrayed to be dying or look as a hoodlum or look as being misjudged, but they are making a difference. Some may don't have a degree, like this young man's particular instance who shot that video. Didn't have a degree, but self-made degree, and he had a high school diploma. But he has a self-made degree and being able to have the capability to go up against a Spike Lee or anyone else if the opportunity and chance is given. So that's how we came up with this particular video. His name was Broadman Jackson, and Broadman is now working, I think he's working for the Jewish Assembly or something of that nature. But tried to get him online as of this morning, but he has to be at work.
Yes, well, I commend you and all of those who have put this video together, and I'll certainly share it on my Facebook page and send it out there. I think that young people do have a voice that needs to be heard, especially because they're reflecting the world that we left them with, and they have the responsibility to try to fix the mess we made. And you're right about what happens with police officers. I remember Officer Friendly, Minister Cindy, I'm sure you remember Officer Friendly, you know, the public relations program that the police had when we were children, where they would send this police officer to the schools and they would talk about safety and all that. So a police officer was the image of protection. Now it's the image of intimidation. And you're right. When you see little five-year-olds running from the police, that's the enemy now. That's the one who come and shake you down and shake you up and throw you in jail. They've maybe seen their parents arrested, their brothers and sisters arrested. So that's not a good person in the eyes of a child anymore, and that's scary. And you're right, the officers need a healing because there's some who really got on the force with the desire to help. But then if the system is corrupted because the intention isn't really to help but to rack up arrest numbers, then they really can't do the job that they came to do. And there are those who want to make it better, but they're too surrounded by the culture of corruption that has crept into to the police force. And it starts with Well, you're right. One of the things that's like you said, it starts with recognizing that that's the problem that needs to be addressed. But now, what are some of the things what are some of the ways that officers have responded to your video and to the things that you've said? What are some of the ways that police officers have responded to you?
If they look at the particular video, when I connected with the officers in Wilmington, Delaware, they was more than happy, and I'd like to thank Inspector Cummins and Captain Fahim for engaging this particular video segment, and they had permission us to be able to shoot it throughout the area of Wilmington, Delaware, and they thought it was a great concept. They thought it was a great move. We had built a relationship, and regards to, because one of the things I mentioned to them is that we need to build off and capitalize off a human relationship of understanding and comprehension between officers and communities. And so when we shot the video, they was more than happy to allow us to use the vehicles and stand by the vehicles. But standing by the vehicle was a way of sending a positive message in regards to how officers are trying to, that some are really truly trying on the force to look at it in difference. Like, for instance, in Wilmington, they have the first woman chief officer, and I met with her, and she's looking at different various ways. They want to team up with me to go throughout the city with them and coming into civilian clothing to be able to engage families, because me now, as a hip-hop artist, being in a hip-hop arena 19 years, my job is to go and do family-orientated events and using hip-hop as a family-oriented. We don't have that particular category where we have a hip-hop artist that's willing to go out and bring families together and communities together. And so that's my different lane. That's what I'm in. So these officers and the chief, and also even the mayor, Dennis Williams, that is the new incoming mayor, is also engaging the idea, and also the Parks and Rec is beginning, the new director, Sean Allen, is beginning to come in. One of the things that the city is doing, we have a big event September 28th, which is coming up. It's called the Hip Hop P-Fest, and in memory, it was a man by the name of DJ Bandit, and he would have been about 52, 54 years of age today, but he was known for DJing with an amputated one arm and going out to use DJing as a way to interrupt with music to stop the violence. So every September of the year of the calendar, he would go out in, I think the park is called Christina Park, and he would actually lease the park out and have DJs coming out so that they can play the music for the community free of charge. And so as of to this month, this week, well, the Zulu Nation from out of New York, which I am the ambassador to the Zulu Nation, I think since the last time I've spoken to you all, I was crowned with my jewels through Lower Cassius D.
Oh, congratulations.
And
yes, congratulations.
Yes, thank you. Reflection of God, I don't take the glory for it. And so with me being ambassador to the Midwest region and to the Chicago region and Delaware and throughout, this has given us an opportunity where the Zulus would come in with me in order to interrupt and intercede with violence. The Zulu Nation, Afro-Bambaataa, and the entire nation of Zulus and hip-hop, who's now about to have its 40-year anniversary, has come into an agreement of understanding that we must now go back after our children. So we have a single I'm working on. It's called The Resurrection of the Zulus, where we're taking the new Zulus who are 10 years under BAM them, and we're coming after the children to implant what real true hip-hop is, which is the five elements, which is dancing, breakdancing, which is b-boying, and graffiti, and the Wheels of Steel, and all those great things. So we will be touching bases on that. So these are some of the things where the officers are in the Parks and Recs are beginning to engage. We're hoping with the violence interrupting in my city and hometown and me touring 386 schools and having an understanding of comprehension about intervention and gang interruption, I'm hoping that we can get CAPS with the Chicago Attorney Police Strategy, hopefully that we can challenge them to get involved and work with us in regards to this human relation and getting a better comprehension, because it is unfairly for some officers that I've actually spoken with and heard that they are tired of being dehumanized and looked at and perpetrated as the bad guy, and some of them are truly just coming out of they're saying and expressing, I'm just as human as that person. Like, one thing I like about Inspector Cummins from Wilmington Police Department and the chief, they both expressed on how they do not want to continue seeing young people being locked up, and that's kind of ironic. You know, you don't hear that language coming from officers. They're tired. They know they're tired of seeing young people being locked up. They're tired of going after them. They just trying to understand what is it that, what kind of solution, what can we just come up with to keep them off the streets and keep them in the community centers and keep them at a safe haven folks so that these interruption of bullets that's flying all over the place that no one has no identification on to keep them from going in these cemeteries. So that's a start, and that's a plus in hip-hop and a whole new direction in regards to integrating and coming into a understanding with officers. And one and the other thing is that we have to remember that we are the policing. The community is the policing. The officers, their job is to come out to serve you and to protect the best interests of the city bounds and limits, because that's what they are instructed to do. So when we interrupt and get out of control and don't know how to resolve a conflict resolution in our communities, then unfortunately these are the things that comes. But also there's a thing where a lot of young people and people in the communities feel that there are officers now hiding under badges and they're coming out as a KKK situation. So it's a very meaningful way of what's going on. So that's the main purposes of working this thing. So those are some of the solutions, as you had asked me, hopefully that this have engaged the world in regards to how hip-hop and officers are being influenced, and hopefully we can take this thing around the world and try. We can't save everybody. We can't stop everything, but at least we can warn and be informative, and that's what I'm doing and engaging and using the video world and coming around and speaking with different chiefs of the different cities and states in regards to gun violence and interruption and miscommunication with officers and communities.
Yes, it's
I like to
work.
Say that I think that it's brilliant, the point that you're coming from. I mean, the humanity that you're sharing about the police officers, because they are part of the community. They are people who have a care and an empathy, but because of the structure, I mean, I just think it's so brilliant what you're doing to support them and encourage them. Because when I look at the gentleman that's the head of our police force, he's been on one of our premier black radio. He comes on, I listen to him, he takes questions from the community. And that's the New Jersey police officer. He was head of the New Jersey. Do you know who I'm talking about? He's here in Chicago.
Oh,
now.
Yeah.
He's heading our.
Yeah.
And see, I remember looking at something about the problems that they had in New Jersey. Now, he was picked to come here to Chicago. He appears to have more humanity, but I also listen to him when he's interviewed on some of our other black radio station, and he sounds so good. He sounds so caring in one sense, but the structure itself, I'm just wondering, I'm listening to you. I mean, fabulous, brother. I love you, and I appreciate your genius in this concept. Can you help in here in Chicago? Now, you're talking about Delaware. You're saying the mayor and those there are really wanting to be better and communicate and go back to what we call the old style community policing. Do you feel that there's an opening here in Chicago for you to impact our police force?
Well, that's the main purpose of me putting the video together and getting it right away up on YouTube. And because we're hoping that everyone, you know, the people that associate to be that know officers, one of the things is I think the first thought would be if we can get me linked up through your agency or anyone that can start with officers who have lost loved ones to gun violence, because those officers will have a better understanding with where I'm coming from, because I've lost a little brother to gun violence. And so with us coming together, we can be able to reach. And not only that, but we're talking about I have 19 years of experience touring 386 Chicago public schools. So if you look at an average child that was 10 years old, they're 20 now. If they was 15, they're 25. If they was 17, they're 25.
Right.
So I actually have people that was maybe 5 years or 6 years different than I was, but all of these people now, their children are in those grade schools today. And that's why I'm re-resurrecting the Rap and Tape the Great movement to come back after those third graders and start all over again, because now their families are being more affected. And then we're dealing with the 60 era. Everything seems to be going back to the 60s so far in regards to the movement and the destruction. So, yes, I did try years ago, way before this blood started spilling, I did everything I possibly could, because there was a guy by the name of Sergeant Evans, and he was working the CHA housing policing. I was right there on the side with him with a couple other sergeants, Dr. Carol Adams, had given me. She was over the Department of Services after she left housing, and I worked with her and Gil Walker, who worked the midnight basketball, and I was doing everything that I possibly could to go and try to engage and sit down with CAPS. When Vance Henry was once over the community outreach for CAPS, I tried my best to sit with these people to see how we can constitute an institute, because I seen what you're bear witness today is what I had dreams on seeing coming, blood spilling all throughout Chicago. People may have thought I was crazy when I was, you know, as I was pushing Right, I foreseen it, and when I was pushing my acronym patent, a tool called READ, Rejuvenate, Exonerate All Delinquency, that was in regards to the dream, and that's why, as a humanitarian hip hop artist, which I am today, that's why I continue, and somehow God was giving me the force, along with people who was donating their personal tithes and monies to my effort. And so when people thought I was crazy, you know, now the results are coming up. You got 50-some schools just were shut down. There was 86 schools on probation. Any school that was constituted on probation or any school that's been shut down that's being privatized today, I had informed them when I was at the Reverend Jackson Rainbow Push Coalition on the education platform. I had informed them that I had got, excuse my expression, but I had investigated when the first couple of charter schools were out, and then I investigated between young females and young guys who were going to those schools, and unfortunately, they were saying the charter schools wasn't fair. It's like a prison. It's like an industrial complex. They were saying that if they you only get a one strike and you're out, and then in most cases, one young girl said, "I'm out of school. I can't even go back. A public school won't even accept me in Chicago." So these are the type of stereotypes and things. So with the schools that's been slaughtered, and don't get me wrong, charter schools can be great according to who is the actual capital funding for it. But in most cases, unfortunate, all over the world, now that I'm investigating New York, and they drop out rate is horrible. And then you look at the state of Delaware of young people and their parents alike that do not have GEDs or high school degrees. All of these people, and it doesn't really make a difference, because some people are just self-made, orientated, educated. They can do. You got billionaires that don't have a college degree, but they have been given a degree. So with that being said, yes, to answer Sister Williams' question, yes, I'm hoping that with the women of the world who see my video, that they can engage, who looking for positive hip hop, who needs a grown man in hip hop. You know, they try to stereotype hip hop with an age, but it doesn't have an age, because Curtis Blow and all of those old school, all the true school artists that's been in the game, Afrika Bambaataa, who's DJ Bambaataa as well as an artist. These artists are doing just as well in touring in the third world country. KRS-One, Boogie Down Production, Chuck D is still hitting hard and all going all over the third world countries. In the third world countries, they're dying for the positive hip hop. They're going mad crazy for the inspiration and uplifting for positive hip hop. So
our music is still having an impact.
We're
still able to give a message through our music. That is inspirational to know, because actually people do follow our lead when it comes to artistic expression. So it's good to know that, as you say, some of those true school artists are still having an impact on the world scene. Well, you're listening to The Female Solution. I'm your host, Naima Latif, along with Minister Cynthia Marie Williams, and we've got on the line Brother Rappin' Tate the Great. And Brother Tate is really having a magnificent impact through the music industry with his conscious words and his reaching out to those who have been hurt by violence. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to come to some callers that want to talk to you. So you all hold the line. We're going to be right back in just a moment to hear your words and give you a chance to talk to our fantastic guest today, Brother Rappin' Tate the Great. We'll be right back in just a moment. Stay with us.
There are people who choose to make a positive difference in the world. Our job is to bring you their stories to motivate you to do the same. Join us each week, host John Alexander and Naima Latif, as we bring you the educators, entertainers, elected officials, religious leaders, and community activists whose works are transforming this world. Find out how you can make a difference too. Be inspired. Watch The Media Connection.
Hi, this is John Alexander.
And I'm Naima Latif. Meet people like you who are making a positive difference in the world.
Big difference.
Watch us every day on The Media Connection at www.youtube.com/TheMediaConnectionTV.
YouTube it. We'll see you soon.
We're back. You're listening to The Female Solution. I'm your host, Naima Latif, along with Minister Cynthia Marie Williams, and we've got it with us. A brother that you need to know who is on the national scene making an impact in our communities. Brother Rappin' Tate the Great, and we are really honored to have you today because you are addressing so many things that we've been talking about for the last several weeks in terms of how to reach the young, how to impact those who are hurting, how to give a voice to those who really, if someone would listen, have something to say. So you definitely provide that. We've got a call on the line. I want to bring and give a chance to talk to you and add to this conversation. And I'd like to say good morning to our caller at area code 302-983. Give us your name, where you're calling from, and your comment.
How you doing? This is Elrod. I rap with Tate.
Ah, yes, sir. Brother Elrod, been hearing some fantastic things about you. Now,
yeah.
How did you get involved in the work that you're doing?
I'm sorry?
Yes, how did you first get involved in this? What motivated you to get involved in the work that you're doing?
Oh, my cousin, she was killed at the age of 20. So at that time, I was only 7 years old. I really didn't know what to do with
those
killers. I didn't know if they was right, sure, if they was wrong. I didn't know if I cried, would it be right or would it be wrong? So... As I got older, I started to realize everything that was going on and how she died. Because nobody told me how she died until I got old enough. Because, your parents say, oh, wait till you get older. I'll tell you when you get older. But at that time, I really wanted to know, and I needed to know. Because it was a question that was burning inside of me. So I took that piece of information that I knew about domestic violence. I did the research on it. Not just because of what happened to her. But it was because I realized everything that was going on around us. And I realized it was everywhere except for Delaware. It was going around everywhere. So I took that piece of information, and I wanted to feed everybody. Like, nobody's going to listen. My peers, I'm only 18. No, my peers are not going to listen to the teachers. All my peers listen to music. So I decided to take that piece of information, put it in a song, and people seem to listen better. I'm not going to say that I'm going to stop the world, but I'm going to do what I can to put that message out there.
All right, each one do their part. Now, you're there in Delaware, you say?
Yes.
How is the community in Delaware? Is there some of the same issues of the street violence, the killings? What is the general atmosphere there?
It's the same as Philly. It is. Wilmington is. People don't want to go to Wilmington. It's parents out here that say, don't go to Wilmington. That's the bad part. Don't go there. Please don't go there. It's people begging their children not to go to Wilmington because of how bad it is. And I feel bad because you can't let your children walk on these streets without worrying about something happening to them. But you got to realize it's everywhere. It's not just Wilmington. Yeah, Wilmington might have a high population of killers or whatever, but it's going on everywhere. Like, it was a situation just out in Newark where I live at. That a child got abducted. So it's not just in Wilmington. They just had to open their eyes and realize no matter where you go, that something's going to be wrong.
Now, from what you've seen, what do you think is the cause for this violence?
I feel as though parents not being there for their children when they need them, when the children ask questions. They're not telling them, like I said, I'll tell you when you get older. By the time, it's going to be too late. You got 8-year-olds hanging out with 12-year-olds now. It really is going to be too late. They know things earlier at age now. A 12-year-old teaching an 8-year-old how to hold a gun. Simple things like that. Is this time and generation is going to be too late by the time the parents want to tell them something.
Man, that's really deep. But you said a mouthful right there. Well, Brother Tate, now he said, I mean, you know, he just spoke of reality. Parents are not there, and so the older children have to kind of take over and I guess, teach what they understand in terms of what you need to know for survival. So is that how younger and younger people get involved in gang activity? The parents are not there. The parents are not giving them a feeling of protection, and therefore they got to learn it on the streets from people who will say, well, this is the real deal of what's going on. Is that why this thing is escalating and getting to younger and younger children involved?
Well, yes, because like Elrod said, you know, and that's why you know, on a national level, we have a lot of young people. I wish I could have gotten in Chicago that I'm working with. But Elrod is a fine example for the Delaware and Wilmington area. And when I met Elrod, you know, he had his uncle Bilal, and he had his mom and family that kind of galvanized to keep him astray from all the things that erupted in Wilmington, Delaware. And the area he's talking about, Newark, that would be like going into Naperville for us, or like Schaumburg or something like that, those rural communities where living is all right. And he's saying that even in the rural areas of the suburban, they're experiencing gun violence now. So, yeah, we have to be able to have the influence of using hip-hop to engage the young generation of parents that's between 40 all the way to 25. Those are the ones that majority have a lot of children that's out there in those grade schools, or a third of them of their mom and parents' age in high school. But, you know, yeah, they say it takes a village to raise a child and things of that nature, but one of the things is, like Errol was saying, that's why I was telling you all, it, you know, y'all are young people all over the world is going renegade. They're renegading because of the simple fact that there's no fathers in the homes. There are at least 20 women to maybe 5 guys out here. Everyone is beginning to look incarcerated, along with women are being incarcerated, and unfortunate, you're seeing same sex going with each other. In Atlanta, you have young people between the ages of 9 years old and up that's actually going around with little boys and little girls at the age of 13 and 8 and 9. So these things that's going on without having parents' involvement and having really good families that can engage these things, like Elroy was saying, these type of things is what's being constituted. So that's why I'm taking an example of Elroy. Elroy is like a Slick Rick the Ruler writer, and he's a story writer, and he acts formalized, and I found it to be amazing when I heard the story on his cousin, and that when he had written it, and his uncle, thanks to Bilal, his uncle who engaged and prepped me, and I was excited to want to meet him. And then when I met Elroy for myself, I saw his compassion for the lyrics within it, and that I was sold on it. I was like, well, he would be the great example to exemplify for his peers. Because that's what a true mentor and a true hip-hop artist would do. If you really true to the game, you're going to pass that mic to that next. That's what MCing was about, was getting the next B-boy, the next MC, who would be the next generation leader to come. And that's why I want to put Elroy with artists, other young artists in Chicago. Though we have a lot of artists out here doing what they call derogatory hip-hop, or we say, we acronym in hip-hop, we say it's recording artists while pretending rap. And so we have that, these artists need an influence, an example. So if we can get more young artists like Elroy on my team, and also challenge the young brothers, which I'm doing, that write derogatory hip-hop. But what I say, I tell them, say, hey, man, look, give me a Tupac. And they say, what do you mean by that? And I say, well, he wrote a song, if you ain't seen it, go on YouTube or Google, called Brenda Had a Baby. And I said, I didn't like Tupac at all until I heard Brenda Had a Baby. And when he broke that storyline about the pregnancy and Brenda Had a Baby, I knew that Tupac had it in him, but I just needed to see him come with it. And when he came with it, that's when I was sold and won over that this brother can at least do some things. And then he's from the old movement of Ashanti Shakur, and may Allah keep his hands around it, but that movement of liberation to freedom and him coming from that biblical cord. But to answer the question and stay to the format, that, yes, we need to be able to have more hip-hop artists to help influence. We can't go into the household, per se, But through our illustration and demonstration and conversations and educating the youth, we can reach some of those youth who wants to go into themselves and not be a generational curse as they fathers and mothers who are in their absence. And some mothers and fathers, unfortunately, is incarcerated. There's a lot of women now, mothers that people don't realize that's been incarcerated. Matter of fact, I talked to Fred Hampton Jr. He was talking about how in California they went on a hunger strike for 2 months in regards to the humanity relations. Yeah, and to the human relation of what's going on. But these examples is some of the things where those absent fathers are. And there are a lot of fathers really, truly, that are incarcerated would love to see their children, but some of them can't because of certain reasons or political reasons or whatever status. And then we have some mothers that can't see their daughters or sons and that's incarcerated, but they would like to encourage them to stay in school and continue to move forward. So, yes, hip-hop has a big responsibility to play and be an influence to engage. We cannot be their mothers. We cannot be their fathers. But we can parent the control of how we dialect and implement and be infiltrating our lyrics and music. And that's why I want to use Elroy as a, not use, but have him to come as a mentor and an example to the young people throughout the nation, along with the young people I'm working with in the Bronx. I'm working with a lot of females in the Bronx. I'm working with them in New York, working with Queen V, that's part of the Zulu Nation with me, in Chicago. And we all are working on looking at how we can parent in hip-hop to help go after those young people that do not have a mother or a father or have the absence of a mother and father not in their presence.
That's powerful. We're going to take a few more calls from people who want to talk to both you and Brother Elrod. We've got a caller at area code 217-390. Thank you for joining us on the Female Solution. Give us your name, where you're calling from, and your question or comment.
Hello, this is Rhythm calling in this morning.
Good morning, Brother Rhythm. Good to hear from you.
Good morning. I just got
now, you've met Brother. You're familiar with Brother Rappin' Tate. I know he spent some time in the Chicago community. He's on the East Coast now. You may have heard some of his works.
Yes, I am, because as I tell y'all, I'm a hip-hop artist myself, do R&B also.
All right.
You know, up-and-coming artist trying to get out in the field. So, yes, I do know him. And I just got on just a second ago. I had heard half of y'all conversation. And one thing I caught the end of, he is kind of right of music does have a responsibility of what goes on in the community, everything, and the reason why music is a healer to people's souls. You know?
Yeah.
So a lot of times people use music to try to get over a lot of things. But sometimes music can even give you insight. Music is a teacher.
That's
you know?
Right.
So that's why music is responsible. You know? And I heard he got a few things going on. And I would like to get in touch with him myself because I'm an up-and-coming artist and I got a lot of things I'm doing out here, and we're doing things in the community also, you know, and Mr. Plump is my agent. So, you know, we're doing a lot of things in the community. So.
Well, I will certainly pass your number on, and so you all can network. And as you heard, he's got some efforts upcoming for the Chicago area, and we need to bring all of our conscious artists together to be a part of this effort to reach the minds of those young people who really all they need is a word. And if the word is given to them in a song, they can hear it and digest it and understand it. So we thank you for what you do as being a conscious artist. And I hope to see you all part of the whole movement of bringing hip-hop and other music forms out here to tell a story and teach a message. We certainly look forward to that. So I thank you for calling.
All right, thank you.
Yes, and we're going to go to our brother activist here, Minister Robert Floyd Plump. Thank you for joining us. Good morning to you. Greetings and peace and blessings.
We're on y'all. Shalom. Amistad. Assalamu alaikum.
Yes, sir.
Shalom.
Well,
good morning there. Good morning, Brother Rappin' at Tate the Great. I love your CD, you know, they kill our leaders. You're right on point about that. And then also continuing in the hip-hop music industry that we love, and we do music because we love it. You know, it's a way of life, which is really Islam, and Islam is forever, that we can give all praises due to Allah for the most honorable Elijah Muhammad. My question to Brother Ralph and Tate is that when it comes to the officers, we are going to set up a structure which will be an invitation and reach out part of the community at the Salam restaurant at 700 East 79th Street in the very near future. I mentioned Saturday night live, but we are probably going to do two sections, which would be Saturday live afternoon and Saturday night live. And is it possible that you can, I know in your very busy schedule, can work out a collaboration with us and the Brotherhood at the Salam restaurant in the very near future, so we can promote, help stop the violence, robbing, stealing, and killing, and help save the children, including Bebe, Ray Ray, and She-Ray children.
Yes, sir, but first I'd like to send the greetings of Assalamu Alaikum, sir.
Thank you. Well, it's fine.
Yes, alhamdulillah. Yes, Abdul, Brother Pump, you know, I mean, come on, you're a pioneer of the Harold Washington movement. I like I said, I wasn't educated, I wasn't there, but I came in on the tail end when he had his death, because that's when I invaded in Chicago. But I could say this much, I know who you are and your history as a pioneer and one who has helped the community. So long as you all can get me there by flight or train, I'm more than welcome to come and give my service. And not only that, but because, you know, the reflection of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad teachings through the instructions of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, reflecting the light of the world and speaking in many languages, yes, sir, I have no other choice but as an FOI and a fruit of Islam to be at the aid and of your assistance and you who have followed the guidance of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, sir. So, yes, I look forward to whatever my part in the hip-hop. I can only do it through the hip-hop. And help engage in whatever you and your endeavors are. I look forward, sir.
Thank you, beloved. We love you.
We love you too, brother. Walaikum salam.
Yes. Well, thank you so much for that, because I believe that light bulb just went on my head. You know, brother, we've been talking about where we need to gather people, and the Salam restaurant is certainly a venue that can draw people. I know with Minister Farrakhan feeding so many of the neighborhood people during the Eid celebration recently, the community is so much more comfortable with intermingling and being a part of activities at the Salam, because it's a restaurant which is open to the public. There's great food there. And the surrounding community is one of those communities that, which is the reason why Minister Farrakhan built that restaurant, is one of those communities that is challenged with the economic devastation. And so you've got various forces going on. You've got a new police station there. And so between that and the poverty, that same element that increases the violence is what has to be combated through positive efforts. So I think that when you and the brothers hook up, you and Minister Plump and Brother Rhythm, I think that we can have some powerful events here in Chicago. So we'll be working on bringing you here and making that happen.
Thanks. Yes. And I want to say, I want to send the greetings to Brother Rhythm, his great work that he's doing, because that's what it takes to take a nation of us. And once we have to reflect from the past and get a better comprehension on what happened in the caucus, because one of the things is all over the world, there are young people that's between ELRA's age of voting registration. I don't think the voting will probably never be as outstanding as it was when Obama first ran. And it doesn't have nothing to do because he was just African American, black or whatever. But the young people today do not entrust the black caucus at large, period, because they looking at their people like Elrod generation, they're looking at what happened to their moms, what happened to their grandmothers, and how they got manipulated by the Democratic black caucus. They're looking at the fact, this is not my word, this is what's in the streets at large with young people who are not trying to feel. That's why you're seeing the derogatory hip-hop expression coming out the way that it's coming, and don't forget we're in the rebellious nation of Israel as well, where there are parents alike who listen to hip-hop that's not really trying to feel the caucus anymore either, because they was insulted by how the 60 movement supposedly had been together. But a lot of people's feelings is, why did Doc, they have questions like the 40 generation of babies and 30 late early and late 30 generation of babies, those two generations are asking, why was Dr. King left with blood? Why? A lot of them question, it has nothing to disrespect Reverend Jackson, but they just trying to understand, like, well, how did he get away with the T-shirt with the blood? Why did they all break up when they supposed to have been so much for Jesus? Why, you know, these are questionings that I can't answer because I wasn't in that 60 era. And these are the things that they're asking, you know, why are they so divided now? Why they look and pretend to look and impose like they together, but all the time they're not together anymore? Why is it that the top black leaders are getting exposed and crashed when they didn't look for their peers? Why didn't the black organizations stay together? And in one instant, the young generation feel like they have been raped. They feel like that and when it comes to politics, it isn't the political science that you learn in school. It seems to be something that has been watered down, constipated by someone in the system. They're trying to understand, like in New York, in the Bronx, in Harlem, I had a young brother that was challenging me with a question. He said, man, I think it's agents. And now he was only 17. He said, man, I think it's agents. And I said, what do you mean by that? He said, I think there are actually people that look like my mom, them, and dad, them, that's old and they're aging and age. And some of them are in there working and conspiriating, and they're messing things up. And some of these leaders can't do nothing because they sold us out a long time ago. And so, unfortunately, that's why we can't get jobs and we don't have money, because of the simple fact they took all the money and pocketed and spent it. And then one guy that was 22 from Philly, he pointed at a not-for-profit that he knew. He said, my mom used to work at that black not-for-profit that was dealing with politicians, the NAACP and all them. He said, look at it. Look how abandoned this building is, nasty and dirty it looks now. He said, I was little. I was like 10 years old. He said, I was 10 years old. He said, now I'm 12. He said, I'm 22. That was 12 years ago. He said, now this abandoned building closed down. My mom is out of a job. She don't even have no money. She can't even find hardly nothing or too much. She had to make all kind of sacrifices for me and my other six brothers and sisters. So he was just expressing on how the black caucus, even in Chicago, I talked with the little brothers and everybody in the street. They said they're not trying to let nobody make them up into politics. They don't want to that politics, because the black caucus robbed the money and stole the money chain, and they're looking at black leaders in Chicago that have actually supposed to have been great leaders, but all of them was imposters and perpetrators and predators to them. So this thing is very, 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 very severe, and it's very, very serious. And the old generation, one, they did not pass the torch because they was mercenaries and hungry, so they didn't give it to my generation. And so, therefore, the generation underneath, under us, that's in the middle 30s and under, they're just looking at the whole situation. Now that they have children, their children who's a third of their age, that's between 10, 12, 15, you know, they're looking at the whole sabam and saying, hey, you know, man, ain't no black caucus. And when they see Obama can't really do nothing, and one of the things in Chicago, I'm just saying, is that this is just from the word of the mouth of the streets, where people are not rolling their sleeves up and really truthfully understanding. They're trying to understand, how did Obama and, you know, and the administration and the black caucus fall out? Because it seemed like everything, like young people saying, well, it looked like, you know, how did they all run into the office and all of a sudden all these black politicians, when we could have had hope and money come into the city, Why isn't no money coming? Is it because, these are questions, they're saying, is it because, you know, Obama and just like their mom and sister and brothers can't get along? And they were saying that it seemed like you thought, that, you know, that the caucus was like a big brother to Obama, but it seemed like the caucus wasn't a big brother and sister no more. It seemed like it failed Illinois, and Illinois could have had more money. A lot of young people think that jobs could have came in Illinois if the black caucus could have worked it out and done, but something happened. And those are questions I can't answer, but only the power that be that's from that movement, they can answer that. And these are the type of things in the hip-hop community that real people who's active in the hip-hop game, we can actually, like, groups like Crucial Conflict and all these artists that come from diversified street nation affiliation, I don't say gang, these artists, they listen
street
to me.
Street nation affiliation, I remember that.
Yes,
can I suggest something, please, brother? I'm listening to you, and let me share something to you. I'm a woman of color, black woman. I'm a community activist. And I met other women that were out here, and I had an adult literacy program, a GED program, for 6 years. And did not know I was the only independent outside of the city colleges. And one of the struggles that I had, and I just doing what I thought I was supposed to do, had the strength and courage from God to do it. As I'm out here on the ground and I'm looking at the ones that are in the structure with their master's degrees, and they're in the city college structures. And I've talked about this before, and one of the things that they told me in Springfield that would make my nonprofit successful was the fact that I had that personal touch. I had a lot of young people come into my program that dropped out of high school, 16 years old. I mean, they just dropped out, and they could have stayed in school. And I said, well, why are you coming to me? But I found that there's no humanity in our community for those who have the education. And this is real. I was out there for 6 years. And even with my being out there, I was associating with the bosses of the people that had these big literacy programs, and they would come to me and just tell me how much they admired what I was doing. But my peers, I mean, there's something in our community where we need to overcome this caste class system. And when you talk about President Obama, I used to see him, some of my community activist friends would call me before he became U.S. Senator, because he was doing town hall, town hall meetings. I remember going over here to Antioch Missionary Baptist Church,
right,
sitting right there in the first row, looking dead in his face with my card, my business card, and listening to him. And he seemed to be an okay guy. You know, I'm looking at him, and I'm listening to what he's saying, and he appeared to be giving us information about how he cared about the black community. It was fine. I gave him my card and all of that, as you're supposed to do. But also, I'm looking at him, and I'm also meeting some of the people that were mentoring him. And I actually personally met Emile Jones, who Senator Emile Jones down in Springfield, who mentored President Obama, kind of steered him through the Chicago politics arena and the downstate arena. But I say to you, without really talking about people, and I understand what you're saying, brother, and I'm 65, so I do understand because I had touch with the young people, that there is a cold detachment. There is not the cooperation in the community for those who are in the Black Caucus. I've met them. I've watched them. I've looked at them. Mm-hmm. I've introduced myself to them. And there's a cold detachment when it comes to coming back to the community. And when I reached out to them to let them know who I was and what I was trying to do, I didn't get any support at all. And I went to Alderman, and I go down to Springfield with the whole literary thing, and there was no real connection. So the young people that came to my program, there were different things that were going on, and I won't put the dirty linen out there, the dirty clothes out there, but they would come and tell me they were going to programs, and they were being abused and misused because they had no knowledge, and the people that were supposed to help them wasn't. So we got to get over
some
of our own
internal issues. Well, I've got a question for Brother Elrod, because, you know, we're always telling young people, well, if you vote, then you can change things. So, Brother Elrod, among your peers, I mean, you say you're 18 now, right? Among
right.
your peers that are coming of voting age, is there a real belief that voting can change things, or are they kind of skeptical? Do they just kind of dismiss it like, oh, please, forget that. That ain't working. I mean, what is the general sentiment when we try to come to them with voter registration programs?
I mean, the type of crew that I hang around, some of them say that, you know, my vote will change. But then I have the other negative thoughts coming from another group of people that say, you know, it's a small percentage. It doesn't matter. Our vote doesn't matter. So it's not my – I'm not going to waste my time to get up and then go vote. It's just negative feedback. Now that I can vote, I will, you know, go out and vote and do what I have to do.
I think that's a critical thing. What's been said is that there's a real feeling of betrayal. It's like, well, if I vote in people from my community and they get in office, they get so caught up with their own personal greed, they're not going to look back and help me, so what's the difference? And I think that's where the challenge is when we put people in office and things don't change. Not only do they not change, they get worse. And I think that's what makes it difficult to get the kind of voter registration drive that we say will change the seat of power in these cities. But if the person change and the attitude doesn't change, what difference does it make? So that's really what we're dealing with.
All they basically want, when I had those teenagers coming to me, Sister Naima, in my program, they were 16 years old, 17 and 18. Mm. They all they want is for us to care about them.
Yeah,
to give them respect and the support that they need. I had so many coming to me that were 16, 17, 18, 20, 24. This is only a couple of years ago. And there was this issue that they were being challenged by the police because they were being arrested and they had felonies on them. This is back in 2004 and 2005.
Well, there we are again, the conflict with the police.
They feel that we really don't care about them. That as much as they want to get their GEDs, as much as they want to move towards success, that those who have positions are not really reaching back and caring about them, and they're very unhappy.
Well, that's why we got to change some things. We got to change some things in us. Well, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to go to our callers that are holding on. Certainly, we want to hear from you, Brother Pianchi, Brother Howard, and those others who are holding on to join this conversation. We're coming to you next. After this short break, we'll be right back. Stay with us.
Women have the power to transform this world. We can end crime, violence, and poverty if we all agree to do one thing. Share. Let's share our wisdom, share our time, share our talents, share our finances. But most of all, let's share our love. This is the Female Solution. Join me, Naima Latif, and my co-host, Minister Cynthia Marie Williams, every morning, Monday through Friday, 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. Central Standard Time, as we connect with women everywhere. Together, we can heal our world. But first, we need to heal ourselves. Listen online at www.blogtalkradio.com/the-female-solution. Call in and be a part of our discussion. 347-539-5639.
And we're back. We're in our second hour. You're listening to The Female Solution. I'm your host, Naima Latif, along with Minister Cynthia Marie Williams. And we've got with us today Brother Rappin' Tate the Great. And we certainly do thank you for your insight on how the hip-hop community, the conscious hip-hop community, can help turn around this tide of violence with a message through our music. And we thank you for bringing Brother Elrod on with us to give us that listening ear as well as spoken voice that we need to hear. And I'm going to take some calls now. Brother Pianchi, you had mentioned yourself the other day that when we are in a room with young people, rather than talking at them, we need to listen and hear what they have to say. So now what do you think? What questions would you ask some of our young artists that are here and can give us a reflection on what's happening and why there's that spirit of rebellion in our communities?
Well, you know, I've been listening for the last hour or so while multitasking. Good morning, you and your co-host.
Good morning.
But, you know, as I continue to say, the problem with the black community is not racism. The fact that the black community lacks to control its own economy. There's nothing wrong with these kids. The problem wrong with these kids is that the previous black generations didn't leave them with anything to build off of, as you see going on in other communities.
That is so true.
Look up in that tri-state area. Korean kids are not ended up in jail. Koreans control produce and so on and so on and so on. Mm-hmm. We'll leave that to them children. The Jewish, he mentioned earlier, some Jewish organization wants to have some sort of affiliation with him, his rappers and so on. But the Jewish organizations, Jewish family lead enterprises for their children to work off of. Have Facebook, Blog Talk Radio, those are Jewish concerns. But ours are,
enterprises,
we're always concerned about social issues, dealing with the police. Police are doing exactly what they're doing. They're sending children, commodities out to those prisons that in their rural areas where white communities have lost industries and business. You had some judges that was convicted for receiving kickback for sending kids to detention centers. So you think it don't go on in the police department too?
Wow.
And you got police saying that they are how they have concerns about sending kids to you know, locking them up, but they don't have concerns about breaking their code of blue silence.
Mm.
So and you know, we're talking about black politicians. I've been looking at this condition for 40 years, and that's the wrong area to be seeking any improvement. Surely it would
really?
Have happened by now. Why come those prisons wasn't built in the inner cities where there's a lack of jobs, high black unemployment? You hear from them that the old excuse, not in my backyard. But people in the rural area want those prisons. So you're going to march against somebody. It ain't white concerns you need to march against. You need to march against those blacks within your own society that have the capability, the skills, and probably the resources in order to make those changes. Why is it that our communities are infiltrated? Why we suffer from economic terrorism when others from miles around, from other parts of the world, is controlling that economy? They take those profits back to their own nations, their own countries, and do great things for them so their children don't have to be going through the sort of things that you see our children going through. And, you know, you mentioned, too, there's nothing wrong with the privatization of schools. It depends on who's privatizing them. Why come blacks not privatizing those schools and doing the things that they need to be doing with them?
It's certainly an opportunity. Well, you know, we say it in the intro all the time. We need to do one thing, share. When we figure out how to cooperate and work together, this problem will be solved overnight. But what is it in the people that don't enable them to trust each other enough to work together? I mean, like we said, with the infiltration of our black organizations that were successful, your enemy can only destroy you because of what's within you, your own greed, your own lust, your own dishonesty. And that's what toppled us, and that's what we're facing, even with the breakdown of our families. When two people can't get along long enough to raise a child and establish something for them to grow from, establish a business to pass on to the next generation, that's within us. That's what we got to solve because we created this mess that they're living in. Now I want to ask Brother Rap and Tate before I go to the next caller. In the artists that you hear with the derogatory hip hop, how do you address them in terms of helping them to see that the story that they are trying to tell, because they do have a story, how they can tell that story in a way that is uplifting as opposed to encouraging the chaos? Is there a way that you address them and help them understand that process?
Yes. I had mentioned earlier, I use an exemplifier because their generation of parents and them grew up off the Tupac area. And one of the things I tell them is to, first of all, if you're doing derogatory, like we said, the acronym RAP is Recording Artists While Pretending, and that's what we teach in the Zulu Nation. And one of the things is that me being an innovator hip-hop artist, and what I discovered is that, like, with all of what I've learned in regards, the whole conflict resolution is coming up with a solution. So I utilize myself not to really per se to target or go after anyone. What I do is take the innovation of what I did in my youth time and up to this present moment and the energy of all what's going on and don't talk about it. When you can get to the word emotion and drop the E off and move with the motion, we can take our mindsets as the world evolves by the hour and the clock at 1,037 1/3 per hour. We are able to engage and people can see this type of energy moving. We're no longer, we're out of the essence and time capsule of talking. Right about now, as the world and the globe continue to evolve itself, and as a mother who carries a blood clot and it's beginning to orchestrate itself and begin to do something in creation, we have to continue to move in this dynamometer. We have to be able to be exemplified by being an example into the nation of our children and our people. We no longer can talk about and continuously constipating the past. We can deal with what's in our presence and move into the future. These are the things that we have to use in hip-hop to and be able to engage. So some of the things I do, I challenge them, the young people, by saying, if you listen to a song called Brenda Had a Baby by Tupac, which, like I stated earlier, which how he received my recognition, though me and Tupac worked together and everything in Philadelphia, and I was representing Chicago when they first came with the Hip Hop Summit, when Dr. Earl Keen in Chicago was the one that took me to represent the whole Chi-Town, and I sat at the table when they was getting ready to move it with Russell Simmons. His whole deal was to move the Gold Rush card. Dr. Ben Chavez's idea was to move the Hip Hop Summit, and we combined the elements sitting at the table to make that decision. So what we have to do is I challenge the young people throughout the nation, not by coming with the derogatory to dehumanize them, but I exemplify by showing an example by saying, look, this is what I'm doing. You don't have a platform. You need a platform to be heard. You're making music and you're throwing it all on the YouTube and Internet and Facebook, but you can't even get to the cities in the state. So I said, why don't you take the other side of you, which is a true side of you, and take that, which what you're going through, but still express the element by taking your creativity of writings and re-expressing it through the papers to go after other people that's going through what you're going through, and then let's watch what's in their eyes and let's feel the energy that they evolved in. And then if yours is not working, but you begin to see that, well, then the God in you will give you an answer to the solution to where you should be going. So the only way they can see these things is someone has to be an example and be willing to suffer themselves as a humanitarian as myself, but through the guidance of God. And so when they see the God, Matthew 5:16 said, let my light so shine before the world, so they see the works of God in me, that they glorify God and not rap and tape. Elrod is not with me because he looks up to rap and tape. He's with me because the God that he chose in him saw the God in me, and we reflected like a Moses to a Joshua and came together with the elements to be able to move the earth. And so as we travel doing these things, and with the help of women, because you all give birth. This conversation through radio is a birth. I don't look at this to be glorified. Yes, sir. I'm not in this to be glorified. I'm not looking for a prestige award. Like in Wilmington, we getting ready to do the Peace Summit, and the lady said, oh, we got to give you a plaque. I said, my plaque is when we get the information to the people. My plaque is when you see other generations of up and coming and people who got the same God-like mindset, and they evolving to make a change and a difference within themselves. We can talk and politic on conversations, as they have already said. But right now, on the time that must be done, on what the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan instruction from Honorable Elijah Muhammad has been stated, we no longer have the time to talk. One thing about Harriet Tubman, the Moses of yesterday, that woman of God was able to take three things she had with her. She offered when the enemy of the mindset of any enemy that was in opposition of what she was doing to bring her people out of the condition they're in, just as of today in the hip-hop community, we are in a condition. And what three things she offered. One, the first thing was, are you hungry, to the enemy? Here's a bowl of oatmeal. They didn't want that. The second thing she offered was a Bible and a Koran. They didn't want that. Mm. She said, well, I want to have one last thing. And that's what, and that's what's inside of my hand that would go upside your head, because I'm gonna get these people where they gotta go, because I'm instructed by the God in me to move them out. So therefore, we know, like when you look at an Ashanti Shakur and look at what happened to Malcolm X's son, you begin to look at why Biggie and Tupac's situation in truth. And this is what God showed me: it really wasn't no Biggie and Tupac conflict. It was really the enemy mindset was out to take out Tupac, because they could not go after a woman who had given birth, like the Pan Africa movement with Pan Africa, who's now trying to get Abu Mumia out of prison. They are going after, there's a new 60 Herod, King Herod, a mindset combined as one kingdom that is out to exploitate and come after the youth at large. And they're saying, look, who is this Messiah, like it was in the time of Lord Yahshua? Who is the next, like the 60s of Malcolm and Dr. King, where they caused all of this chaos?
Let's kill him before he can rise. Yeah.
All of that. So they're saying, let's infuriate them now. That's why we must learn from the ancient ways and come out from the ancient ways into the realization of civilization and modernization, and understand how we must modernize what the conflict is and move with the solution. The only way the solution is moved is based off the gravity and mass of what's being conflicted and instituted on our people. So our people at large, even the ones of degrees, have become laxative, where they themselves cannot begin to even see no more either. The clouds are over their head as a veil is over a woman. So we no longer have the time to be sitting at tables dialecting and coming up. We got to move with the radar. We got to move like the Sandy Storm move. We got to move just like the earth is rotating. We can no longer allow our mindset to wait like the weight of the earth at 6x time by 21 cycles. That is too much constipation or pressure. So the hip-hop community is going in a direction only under the instruction of what God did. In closing, in Psalms 32:8, God said unto David, as he's saying unto this nation, he said, I will instruct you. I, God, will teach you myself. And I, God, will cause anything that's in opposition to be removed out of your way. So, therefore, we don't have to do nothing but just as Abraham and Moses did in their time. Listen to the God in you as you read. And if you can't read, get with those that can ikra, who can read in the name of our Lord, and those people who have the guidance, as Sister Wim, who's a great GED instructor, some of the greatest philosopher of young people who don't have degrees, but though they are degrees self-made. In truth, we are already self-made degree antiologists and great archaeologists and all of these great psychologists. We are all of that and more, but because we have no understanding of innovation to come out of the constipation, that's why we are in a laxative mode that we are. So that's why brothers like Elrod understands what God is doing in me and in him, and with the combination of the both, the Joshua of Elrod generation and the Moses of my generation in hip-hop, we can go after our people who wants to save themselves. Now, we cannot save them all. It was proven from ancient time even to the time of our present moment. But I guarantee you, for those who play their part, who innovate themselves and bring those molecules and protons and atoms together, we guarantee that the massive of people and the majority of our people in the Israel of hip-hop will be reconstituted and re-resurrected and regenerated and modified to see the exemplification that is on Elrod himself, as well as unto the world in hip-hop.
Well, all right, bro.
Well, you're inspiring me. You're inspiring me because what I'm doing now, as I'm starting up my GED program again, I've got a sister working with me, and we're looking at a building right now, because I was in two churches, and that experience really showed me a lot about the disconnect in us wanting to help each other and help our people. And you're correct about that, because there's the only independent nonprofit doing GED outside City Colleges. I looked at all those people working in the structure. And to me, they had no humanity. I would go down to Springfield, and I would look at them, and they looked like monsters. It's like they had no caring. And I volunteered in City College,
and I
saw how they treated the students. And one of the things that my students told me, and I had grown men come into my program, and they appreciated the empathy, the humanity. Said, "Miss Williams, you care about us." And I had grown men, 42 years old,
that
didn't know how to read and write, and they were in my program because I care. But brother, what I'm saying to you, that element is needed. You know, I'm up in age, but I know I need to network with young people like you who understand deeply and can communicate to these young people. I'm getting ready to start over again now. I'm going to do it again.
I'm
looking at
Inglewood, all right,
and I'm looking at Roseland, because I was in Roseland at two locations and two churches. So right now I'm praying and meditating, and I'm getting a word to go to Inglewood, and I'm looking at a building right now in Inglewood with the help of a sister to try to see whether or not we can get that building, because there's a way to get property that a lot of black people do not understand. And I have been brought in contact with people that know how to get property. See, we don't have a lot of knowledge.
We've got some callers on the line.
But if we go to the universe, then the universe will educate us and connect us with the right people. And that's what I'm looking forward to. And I love what you're saying, my brother.
Oh, absolutely. Well, we've got some callers on the line that have been inspired as well, and we want to make sure they get an opportunity to speak to our guests. And let's go to our brother, Howard Williams, who has been an voice of insight, particularly in the professional community, as well as those who have been caring and concerned for the troubled youth. Good morning to you, my brother. Thanks so much for calling in and joining us today.
Good morning, my dear Sister Naima. Good morning, Sister Cynthia.
Good morning.
Bianchi. And what's the brother's name?
Brother Rappin' Tate.
Okay.
Rappin' Tate the Great.
Are you out of New York?
No, sir. I origin my hip hop movement for 19 years out of Chi-Town.
Okay, because I heard.
And you're in Delaware now, I believe, right?
Yeah, but I'm on the East Coast now. Yeah, I'm working both Chicago and the East Coast. Yes, sir.
Okay. The only reason I mentioned that because I heard, and maybe it was a younger brother earlier, because y'all say you're from my neighborhood.
Yeah, you're talking about what's happening
in Wilmington. I'm from Brooklyn.
Ah, yeah.
Oh, okay.
I'm from Brooklyn, but here in the Chi.
Okay.
I've enjoyed this conversation very much, and I wanted to speak directly to the issue of hip hop and how the potential it has to move the masses, to stimulate the minds of our young people, and so on and so forth. I'm a very, very big believer in that, both historically and contemporarily. I mean, music has always been the driving force of change, or one of the primary, in all actuality, the very first form of therapy in the world was music. Before there was any such thing as people like me and psychologists and so on and so forth, and even schools, you know, music has always had the power to shift minds and thoughts and attitudes. And clearly our history demonstrates an awareness of that. The issue I want to speak to directly is, and I heard the conversation earlier about the political movement and why is it stagnating and so on, you know, the division and so on and so forth, and it's like a generational gap issue. Are you there?
Yes.
Yes, sir.
Okay, I want to make sure my call didn't drop. But, you know, one of the barriers, as you all were mentioned, is the inability of the older generation or our generation currently to connect with young people. And one of the ways that this shows up most strongly is in the music. You know, that so many of people of our generation completely turn our backs on hip-hop as a potential source of good because of most of the stuff that we hear on the radio. You know, it's interesting. Every generation has always had to fight for their music. People had to fight for soul music. People had to fight for the jazz and blues. So in some sense, that's nothing new, that each generation has had to fight for the right to express themselves as they see fit. Now, you know, we all understand the nature of hip-hop and how it started and, the purpose in which it served and so on and so forth, but a lot of our young people don't. Now, the question is how to bridge that gap. Well, one of the things I talk to parents about, they say, well, I don't like my kids' music, and I don't understand why they listen to it, and I don't want them to listen to it. And they think that if they tell them that they don't like it, that they're going to stop listening to it. Well, that simply obviously is not the case.
Work.
What I share with parents and with adults in general is perhaps the best way to assist the children in understanding and making better choices perhaps in what they're listening to is instead of running away from the music, go into it. Go into it with them. Sit down, listen to it with them, hear the lyrics. You know, you can do some compare and give and provide the type of parental insight as to, because kids want guidance and they want insight, but if you're afraid to embrace what they love and just judge it, then you're automatically going to cause them to rebel because they're going to listen to their music. So that will become a source of conflict within the home and within the community. So, you know, what I try to do, for example, is I will just compare and contrast. We'll listen to different artists. And then we'll sit down and we'll talk about the messages because it all, you know, music is just a metaphor for messages. The message can be revolution. It can be get all you can get. But it's simply a metaphor. So, you know, the point I'm making is that I think it would be really important for adults who want to connect with the young people to use the music as something to embrace and sit down and listen to together and come to some type of understanding. Ask them what do they get when they listen to this. What do they understand? What moves them? You know, are they feeling angry? Does it make them feel sad? You know, does it make them feel like going out and helping somebody? Does it make them feel like going out and busting somebody over the head? So the conversation, the communication, and because ultimately, you know, would allow the parents and the adult around the child to maybe steer the child towards a different type of music, even within hip-hop. I mean, there's a whole range, and a lot of adults just think, you know, don't even understand there's a whole range of hip-hop. So I would just put out the notion that it's going to be important to use the music as a way of bringing the generation, bridging the generation gap, but it can only happen if we as adults get over our own fears and our own desire to judge the children and degrade the music.
I think that's a very good method of opening some communication because, like you say, every generation has to fight for the right to their music.
There's a lot of programs that they're doing this already.
Yeah.
Well, if the adults had left the children with something other than nothing to build off of, they wouldn't be singing about negative things. When you leave them with negativity, they're going to sing about negativities. You look at the other kids in other ethnic groups. Well, you think Koreans are going to be singing about negativity after their parents have left them with all these businesses that they have in Los Angeles and in the tri-state area? That's black society
Pionk,
as a whole.
Brother Pionk, let me ask you this question. Because what you're saying is correct, but there is a reason why we have not been able to establish successful businesses. Can you articulate what that is, in your opinion?
Because of the direction. Basically, I think we went left when we should have went right or kept straight ahead. And, you know, those organizations were great organizations, you know, the ones that we mentioned, the Black Panthers and so on. But they weren't the organizations to do the things that we need to go where we have to go. There's very seldom do you see a leader that's good from A to Z. Leaders are good in certain areas. Then what slack is left needs to be picking up by others. And as I keep continuing to say, that those expertises, those skills do exist within black society. Black society, you have members that's running other people's corporations, that's leading the world. So at what time do they come out and lead their own people?
Well, that's a mindset that has to be created, and it was not created when the previous generation was taught that success meant being able to intermingle and be accepted by other people. And so that's where they went, and that's where they stayed.
And
we've
then, what's your definition? Real quick, what's your definition for parent? Parent is when you have a baby. Is parent when you reach the age of 21 or 18? Or the process of producing parents that went on before that point, in that eventful point in their life? What happened to that process? Parents is just like an engineer. Parents is just like a pilot. There's programs and there's skills that has to be attained in order for them to be just that, a parent. And we cannot blame kids that wake up one morning when they're on their 21st birthday and expect for them to have something that's necessary for them to be entitled as being a parent, whereas before those previous 20 years, they never was taught that.
Well, you know, we talked about this yesterday. It's our generation that dropped the ball. So how can we accuse the young people of creating a problem when it's we? You're right. We didn't provide for them. And why couldn't we provide for them? We couldn't even stay together long enough to build a base. So that's what we're talking about. Everything starts from the home base. Go right ahead.
I want to just interact real quick is that my thing is in hip-hop, is, you know, it's great to listen to many dignitarial philosophers and scholars, but me being within the inner city, growing within the inner city, and then being able to gravitate to the energy of whomever they all may be, the time and what must be done, as the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan is speaking, you can see all his series on YouTube, but my part in what in the time that must be done is in hip-hop is to engage the star David and the crescent moon of Ishmael and Abraham, which then comes the Kabbalah where Prophet Muhammad and Bilal, who was an Ethiopian. My job is to, like the brother said earlier, my job is to use myself to get them. Like, so for instance, my whole topic is solution. Solution comes without talking and speaking. You have to move it with being an actionarian. And so as an actionarian, as Abraham and all of them had been, as an exemplified Dr. King and many other greats, my job is to use hip-hop and don't talk about it. My job is to get them to resources like Brother Howard and the other brother who was on the phone and get them to that level. Like, for instance, like I work with a lot of Morris brothers, Temple 11 in Philadelphia, the Grand Sheik. T-Hawk and Bay has a book out, but he's a phenomenal Grand Sheik. He's young. He's like 35, 37. And the brother is like phenomenal in Philly, and he's a Morse. For brothers that proclaimed that they Mose, well, Mose back in the 60s when it was rising almost meant a good thing, but unfortunately it has a blood clock in it where a lot of young people have manipulated it, and they was manipulated and used with it. So now the Grand Sheikdom is working on that to get that correct properly, because that was Abraham's star. And Moorish, Mo don't mean just Mo, it means Moorish. And so in order for the new generation to understand that that has been manipulated, they would have to be able to be gravitated. So I'm working with hip-hop artists who can speak in that language. I can't speak in the Prophet Noble Jawali language the way they can speak it. I can't speak it in a way that other Jehovah Witnesses and artists or whatever out there, Christian artists who can speak in their language or Hebrew. But
everybody's
got to speak
their language. You're right. You're right.
And if I use myself to gravitate with these brothers who can speak to them brothers that's in the street riding under those flags, the Star David or Crescent and Moon, and whichever one they proclaim to be in, and be able to see their own reflection of their own stars, but seeing how they stars are able to deliver and bring those messages across, then those people can gravitate to them, and then they can begin to evolve as a blood clock when it forms head, arms, and leg, and manifestation comes out as the key of life is the
that's
child.
Right. They have a new birth. Absolutely.
And
well, that's where
that's
it starts. You're absolutely
doing
right. Yes. Well, yeah. That's where it starts. And each ambassador to their own people have to come with the message that their own people can understand. Well, we've got a whole bunch of people who want to talk to you here, so I'm going to give them an opportunity. And let's go to our caller at 217-390. Thank you for joining us on the Female Solution here on with Brother Rappin' Tate the Great. And give us your name, where you're calling from, and your question or comment. Good morning. Area code 217-390. You with us? Make sure you don't have the mute button on your phone there. We'll give them a chance to work that out. Let's go to our caller at 773-577. You're on the Female Solution. Thank you for joining us. Give us your name, where you're calling from, and your question or comment.
Good morning. My name is Pleasant Stephens. Can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
Yes, I like the conversation. I'm hearing about the solution. And what I'd like to invite somebody, all of the people that's listening to this program, there is a solution, and we are the solution. There's no one else going to save us but us.
No one will save us for us but us. Absolutely.
That's right. And what I want to share with everybody is that we are an organization called Infinity Building Economics Black Political Action Committees. We are having a summit, an economic summit, the 3rd and 4th, which this is our third one, the 3rd and 4th of October, at 5855 South Emerald Avenue here in Chicago at Inglewood. We need to get all of our people together because we have opened the first ever national textile sewing factory. We're putting our people. This is what we missed. I'm 74 years old, and we never left, as a young man was stating, we never left anything positive for them to gravitate to. So now we are employing people that are coming out of prison and giving them an opportunity to work, to create a job, to create a business, create a financial institution for themselves.
And give us that address again.
6855 South Emerald Avenue.
And that's where
that's where the summit's going to be.
What's the date on that?
Yeah,
give your name again.
My name is Pleasant, Pleasant, Stephens, Stephens. I'm the founder of the organization. I've been doing this for the last 22 years. I've been doing this
for I want to respond to it. Beloved, first of all, I want to commend you, and not only as a pioneer of our community doing what you're doing. Have you ever heard of Dr. Evans?
Dr. Webb Evans?
Yes.
Dr. Webb Evans is going to be one of our models on the 5th. Dr. Webb is going to be one of our speakers on the 4th of October.
Okay.
Matter of fact, we'll be having him on the show soon.
What about Minister Etton? Minister Etton, the Sax preacher.
I know Sax Preacher.
Okay, that's my foster father. And what I want to say is this: in hip hop, in Chicago over the summer, people didn't know this, but first reason why I mentioned those names is because if I've recommended any young youth throughout Chicago, I would recommend them come to you guys because you all understand the Marcus Garvey theory. You understand. And it doesn't really have nothing to do with black. It's a reality of a blueprint in regards to the crisis that's innovating on our community, where there are single moms that are now losing their jobs, and they got maybe 2 to 3 male young men in the household that's now trying to sell Molly and Percocet on the streets today, which used to be like crack cocaine. And if we can continue, and what I told my father, I told that I would love to be a model because. For you all, because of the simple fact we need to be able to engage by employing the youth, because where parents are losing their jobs, at least the youth can learn life skills and entrepreneur skills, because I was a youth and I created my first not-for-profit at 17, but though I did not move it, but then I outgrew the mission statement and I did as Bill Gates did. I passed it on to someone who could actually do it. And so I understand the formality of it, but the economic development infrastructure side of it, even in our generation of entertainers who losing money by the rap because they didn't get a comprehensive of learning math in school or understanding how the business and corporation is instituted. And in the hip-hop arena and entertainment, I would like to be able to engage. As a matter of fact, I talked to the previous mayor here in Wilmington, Delaware on yesterday,
and he had made mention in regards to that he would like to do something. He said, man, because, man, you, the hip-hop generation is making billions of dollars, and you guys kind of somewhat understand what's happening, but we need to have a format and a layout where we can actually be able to have a blueprint to be able to empower the youth through that, because that's where the youth mindsets are. So if we could take phenomenal pioneers of your age along with Dr. Webb Evans, who will be 100 years old this coming November, I think it is, you know, if we
wow.
can take that type of information while you all in our present and use hip-hop as an influence to engage it as a right now process, because over the summer, Lord Cassius D, along with the House of Culture, I don't know if you know where it's located, but it's on the east side, we engaged, they had a farm down in Indiana, and we took a group of young people to be able to go out and, these were young people from different rules of the area, but though we know we had farmers market going on with my foster father, Dr. Will Evans, them on the south side, but also we took a group in the hip-hop arena down through the Zulu Nation and through the House of Culture and took them out from the surrounding areas, and they went on the field, and they actually was able to, not only did they see the crops, they was actually to plot up the crops, but the greatest part that was discovered through the whole human relationship was that these young people found out they was from different areas and riding on different sets and had no ideology that they was getting along just fine than being Esau and Jacob or Cain and Abel. And these type of things needs to be constituted and constantly drilled in life skills. We can never get enough of life skills to this very, very day, because with life skills, it helps employment. Taking the Marcus Garvey theory, taking the theory that you guys have, that you have taken to the level that you have it as the modern-day Moses in economic and development infrastructure. One thing I learned is that silence is a best-kept secret. In the book of the Angel of the Bible, Matthew 6 said, what we do in secret unto God, he said what we do outside and announcing it. What we do in secret unto God, we will be rewarded openly by God. So the God in us coming together with the God in you all, and as guiders, and coming and taking and learning economic development, creating jobs. They say, well, there's no job. There's no job. So where we stand, Dr. Webb Evans and what you all are doing is a phenomenal solution. I would like to take
yes,
the blueprint
is.
And what you all doing in Chicago, I would like to see it all over the world. Like, for instance, in Harlem, it's a slap in the face, because it used to be a time where you seen more Africa, because it was really, they called it, it was like the African American, Harlem was like Africa. And now,
but
you
now,
don't
I
see
got,
that
I got a question,
anymore.
You know, I got a question regarding even the, well, first of all, Brother Pleasant, Stephens, I do thank you for calling in, because I have a clothing line that I'm just looking for a manufacturer to help me launch, so I'm going to be coming to see you real soon. But I got a question about, I believe the company is FUBU, For Us, By Us. Now, I understand that was very, very successful. In launching that, I suppose, that brand name, and I understand some young people launched that. Was there a guideline left for that, the reason why they were able to make that successful?
If I may, let me share something with you, the way you can get a lot of information, that what we have created the last 10 years, a lot of the information is on our website. If you have a pen.
And give us that website.
www.iinfinity.com. It's I-N-Infinity, B mm-hmm. is in black, E is economics, B is in black, political mm-hmm. is P, A is in action, C in mm-hmm. committee, .org. When you go to that website.
IBEBPAC.org.
That's correct. I'd like for you to look at that website in its entirety. I've also created a mall on that website, and we're building a mall of websites connected to us across the country. And then, and when you go to the Infinity, Association Mall, which is right in the center of the website, you will come up on three more websites. I would like to get some more information about who we are, where we are, and where everything is taking place. There's a website that says The Empowerment Vision. You click on that website and go to Take Action Now, and you will see all kinds of stuff that where we are doing. You won't see the models because we're having, on that Saturday, we're having models from 2 years old, and I like what I heard about the disconnect. We are bringing all of that together. We're having models from 2 years old, as the young man said, to 100 years old. Brother Webb Evans will be 100 in October, in November. So he's a 100-year-old person, and we are bringing all that together so there's no disconnect between modeling our clothing that we're making. And we also have a conference call twice a week.
Brother, can you give us a contact number for you? I know there's a whole lot of people that want to get in touch with you and get involved in this effort. What's a phone number where you can be reached or your company can be reached?
I'll give you my personal number. I'm not, fellow says I don't have from anybody. My personal number is 773-577-9656. My email address is plez1939@yahoo.com.
plez1939@yahoo.com. And the phone number for all those who need to get in touch with Brother Pleasant Stephens, and that is 773-577-9656. That's correct?
That's correct.
Well, we certainly do appreciate that, and I will be there to see you real soon. And we're going to definitely talk business because you have presented one of the major solutions, and that's what our friend Brother Dolphin always talks about. We must sow what we wear, and having a clothing manufacturing company, that answers so much of what we need in our communities. So thanks so much. And then
you're talking about Brother Dolphin?
Yes. Matter of fact, I'm sure you're somebody you're working closely with, correct?
That's where we're having our summit.
Absolutely. I thought I recognized that address. Well, you know, that's what it means to have our own buildings so that we can do the things necessary, that we can come together and we can organize. So you have to have a place, you have to have the resources, and then once we pull it all together, we can do what we're talking about, create the solutions. We're going to go to some other callers who I'm sure want to probably talk to all of you on the line. Let me go to our caller at 773-826. I believe that's Brother Howard again. Thanks for coming back to us.
Okay. Good morning again. Now, Sister Naima, you know, I've already had a chance to speak, so if you have some other callers that you need to get in, then I will certainly defer
to
that.
Well, I appreciate that. Well,
of course.
Stay with us, and I'm going to go to
our caller.
Wonderful. Well, let's go to our caller at 267-595. Thanks for joining us. You're on the Female Solution. Give us your name, where you're calling from, and your question or comment.
Okay.
Yeah, it's area code 267-595. You're on.
Yes,
can you hear us? Area code 267-595.
Okay.
Give us your name, where you're calling from.
You can leave it closed for me.
Okay, I believe they may have stepped away from the phone. Let me, while they get that together. Well, let's see. I'm going to go back to our caller at 217-390. And good morning to you. Thank you for joining us on the Female Solution. You're on at area code 217-390. Make sure you don't have your phone on mute. Okay, I believe they stepped away from the phone as well. All right, well, let us go back to our Brother Plump. Thank you for coming back to us. Now, I'm taking it, Brother Minister Plump, that you have also been involved with many of these organizers here in the city of Chicago with the clothing manufacturing company
yes,
and so
ma'am.
Forth.
I am a member,
yes.
And thank you again,
oh.
Minister Robert Brother Plump. I'm a member of the Abbey Pack. And I would like to encourage everyone to be there at the Economic Summit on the 4th and 5th at 6855 South Emerald personally. And I can also be reached at 312-671-2773 for tickets. Thank you.
Yes. Well, all right. Well, I thank you for that. And then we've got, I guess we'll have time for one more caller, our dear brother Haroon. Thank you so much for joining us. As-salamu alaykum. Peace and blessings to you, my brother. Yes, Brother Haroon, you're on the Female Solution. And thanks for joining us. And we've had quite a few dynamic brothers such as yourself. So give us your question or comment this morning.
To me, it seems like this hip hop culture has been hijacked. So, what can we do to save hip hop culture? Because I used to wonder why are all these artists going platinum, platinum, platinum? I look around African American communities; they're not buying them. They're not buying. So, you
interesting.
Know, we look at. They selling and going platinum and double platinum and triple platinum over there in them European countries. So the music industry is making music to market to those particular people. So these are the images that they want to see African American as, you know, pants sagging. Then we see it's a twitch to this culture, too, that we got some type of blood-drinking, vampire-type culture because they like
man.
That in Europe.
We'll let you know,
they like that. So it's a European culture that we're trying to cater to because they know that's the market. That's how they make the money over there. So, you know, maybe that's the image that they feel comfortable seeing black people as, kind of, you know, unintelligent.
Mm.
That can't even wear a pair of pants. It's disrespecting our women. As far as the music that the black people do like, our African American people do like, are the intelligent rappers.
Oh, you'll find out
the rappers that make sense. And those the ones that don't sell, don't go platinum and triple platinum. You know,
well,
so
Brother
think
Tate, you know, he's made a real serious point here. It always comes down to economics. And for those who decide to so-called cross over and cater to those who pay for the negative, how do we address that, especially when, you know, rappers are making money doing the negative? What do we do about that?
We got to support our positive rappers because we're the number one consumers in the world is African-American people. So we letting the Europeans dictate our music by the sales industry, by band. And we should support our rappers that's, you know, rapping this positive, putting this positive image of African Americans out there. And we have to support them.
Absolutely. It comes down to the dollars.
Yeah, or else these other rappers are still going to be number one giving African Americans negative imagery.
Well, you know, we got to use our social media, our networks, our Facebook and YouTube and everything else because we have the access to the market in our hands now that this new technology has made it. So we got to give the information in the ways that we have. But Brother Rappin' Tate, we thank you for joining us. And for those listening in, please give us again the information about the upcoming event and as well as your website where they can get access to your music. Brother Tate, you with us? Oh, I believe this call has dropped. Well, of course, I want to thank him for tuning in and listening in to the Female Solution. Thank you to my co-host, Minister Cynthia Marie Williams, and thanks to all who listen in and join in on this conversation. Join us again tomorrow morning as we deal with our health solutions and healing our community. And certainly we want you to follow through, and you can reach us online at www.naimalatif.com. That's www.naimalatif.com. And you can listen to our radio shows at your leisure if you need to get that information, those websites and phone numbers. You can listen back to the show by going to our Blog Talk channel. Join us again tomorrow. Thanks to all who listen in and join in. And until tomorrow morning at 7 a.m., may you all have a blessed day.
Women have the power to transform this world. We can end crime, violence, and poverty if we all agree to do one thing. Share. Let's share our wisdom, share our time, share our talents, share our finances, but most of all, let's share our love. This is the Female Solution. Join me, Naima Latif, and my co-host, Minister Cynthia Marie Williams, every morning, Monday through Friday, 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. Central Standard Time, as we connect with women everywhere. Together, we can heal our world, but first, we need to heal ourselves. Listen online at www.blogtalkradio.com/the-female-solution. Call in and be a part of our discussion. 347-539-5639.